Welcome to Solder Smoke, a podcast by radio amateurs with a focus on homebrew electronics. From our workshops in Juneau, Alaska and London, England, we get together on the Echolink system to swap ideas about radio construction projects. Our website is www.soldersmoke.com. Please send feedback to soldersmoke, that's one word, at yahoo.com. So, as we step away from our soldering irons and oscilloscopes, please join us for another edition of Solder Smoke.
KL7R, KL7R, M0HBR. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. It's really, really windy here. They've got gusts to 60 or 80, they were saying. I loosened up my antenna wire and strapped down my outbuildings. So we'll see what the detritus has on the ground there in the morning. But it's been worse. But it's just a little bit windy here in Juneau, a little rainy. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a bit windy and rainy here too in London. But I doubt we're in the same weather system. that'd be a big one. Let's see, 7:11 a.m. on Sunday morning, the 22nd of October. I guess this is Solder Smoke number 36. Let's see. I've been reading this book, I Was, Steve Wozniak's book, and kind of interesting. The kind of thing that would be of interest to the folks who listen to Solder Smoke. It's been kind of fun. So what's been happening up there in the KL7R shack, Mike?
Well, after that interview with Farhan and the emails to Mr. West, I just had a couple of items that I'd made a return loss bridge out of experimental methods, but I'd never had opportunity to use it. And I said that I wanted to know how to measure input and output impedances, and really didn't have a clue. You know, I know roughly how to calculate it, but I didn't know how to measure it. And a bunch of stuff's been going. I got my order in from DigiKey, so I filed that stuff away, and I got things to do for the winter here. I forgot what you said there, Billy. You turned it over in the middle of your sentence there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I started to give a book review on the on I Was, but I guess I could wait. You've got more interesting things going on there. I've been working on similar issues here, I guess also stimulated by the interview with Farhan, which, by the way, is getting record numbers of downloads, and we were really pleased to see that it got mentioned on the Make Zine, the Make blog that a lot of people look at every day. I sure do, and I was delighted the other morning to be scrolling down through the blog entries there on the Make Zine, and saw our symbol there, the solder smoke with the smoke rising from it, and they gave the interview with Farhan a very nice review. Yeah, I've been playing with design issues here also, and I looking at the same kind of things that you are, and that is how do you, when you design an amplifier, how do you determine the input impedance will be, how do you determine what the appropriate load is, what the appropriate quiescent current, all that kind of thing, all those kind of issues that are, you know, so much a part of solid-state design and experimental methods. And so I've been, in my own way, just trying to make sure that I have the proper understanding on a lot of these questions, and very often I discover I don't. But Wes has been really terrific and has jumped in and put me on the right track a couple of times. I think you've seen the emails, and once I get everything kind of sorted, because right now a lot of the worksheets that I'm working on are kind of still kind of messed up. Once I get them straightened out, I might put them up on the website or anything else. But I've been just sitting down with the paper and pencil and playing with LT Spice. And I've also been using two programs that that Wes included in Experimental Methods. They're in the disc in the back of the book. I hadn't used the disc before, but there's two programs in there, one called FBA for feedback amps, and I think one called Bias, just for setting up the bias conditions on amplifiers. But, yeah, so Return Lost Bridge, you're way, way, way ahead of me there, Mike. KL7R, M0HPR.
Oh, no. it's just a fancy word for SWR meter, but it's kind of interesting. I've been going through that mail that Wes sent. Really pretty interesting. He did DC biasing and then overlaid it with AC components, and I thought that was really cool. And basically you did two different biasing, and then you overlay the AC on top of the DC and parallel whatever resistors happen to be in the same place. And I put that bit of email that Wes sent to us. I asked him if it was okay first, and I put that up on my webpage there. I've done quite a bit of work on the webpage. But under bookmarks, I created a new folder called biasing, and it's under there. There's a few items under there, including some previous stuff that he did with the popcorn site. I can never remember the BE7 Eric. Let's see, I got to get it right here since I said it. Popcorn website. There, he had transistor biasing with BJT amps and what have you. Anyway, I will get his name right, or maybe you have it off the top of your head there, Bill. Anyway, I changed my my bookmarks on my homepage there, KL7RM-radio.ch. If you look under bookmarks, there's a subdirectory called biasing, and his comments for that email are in there, including the graphics of those two programs you mentioned. Yeah, I've been playing with LT Spice too. I grabbed an amplifier from SM0VPO. He's got a really cool site. He's got kind of a grumpy way of talking. His name is Harry Lithall, I think, or Lithall. He's got kind of a grumpy way of talking, like an old timer, you know, that just doesn't have time for stupid questions. But he's got good stuff on there, and one of them was a little amplifier using 2N20 222s in push-pull. In push-pull and in parallel. And it puts out a half a watt, and it's broadband, and it's low distortion. And so I built that thing, and it was clipping like crazy. So I, based on your comment earlier, I modeled it in LT Spice and then did some clip lead engineering by modifying values, you know, trying to get the clipping of the driver amplifier to stop clipping it was clipping before it had enough power to drive the power amplifiers, and I couldn't understand it, and I knew the problem was in the driver, but so I fiddled around and read Experimental Methods and read Solid State Design again and read Understanding Amateur Radio. You know, that's an old book, has tube-type amps in it, and anyway, I fiddled around with the voltage divider bias, and I dropped the values to increase the current to stiffen the voltage divider, and that did it, and so I was basically, you know, fiddling with values in LT Spice and watching the output, and watching and see if it was clipping and seeing if it had enough drive, and that's good stuff there, Bill. M0HPR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HPR. Oh, yeah, well, you and I are on the same track, because I was doing exactly the same thing with LT Spice yesterday. And, it's the kind of program, I guess it's like any other bit of software, when you first start using it, you're climbing the learning curve, and you're not really getting much out of it in terms of the circuit you're analyzing. You're struggling with the commands and how to do things in LT Spice. But once you reach a certain level with it, it becomes a really useful tool. And it's funny, I was doing exactly the same thing yesterday. I was playing with an amplifier in LT Spice, and I set up the voltage divider for the bias. And by the way, I made the same kind of mistake you did. I didn't have enough current going through it relative to the base current, so it wasn't, I think SSDRA calls it, wasn't stiff enough. I made another mistake, and it's funny because you get to a point with LT Spice where you're making the same kind of errors in the software that you sometimes make on the workbench when you're breadboarding something. And I did it yesterday. I had an input, a transformer, to take care of the impedance match going into the amplifier, and then I had the voltage divider going to the base, and I neglected. Wait a second. Here's somebody. There's Billy coming in. Good morning, Billy. There you go. Anyway, I had neglected to put a capacitor between the transformer and the voltage divider. So of course, all the DC for my carefully designed voltage divider was going to ground through the secondary of the transformer. And I kept with LT Spice. I couldn't figure out for a couple of minutes why I had 0 volts DC on the base. I thought that, you know, they should LT Spice should have a feature where they simulate the smoke, the smoke that you would generate if you did something like that. Maybe they could, you know, you'd need like a smellorama computer program, so suddenly you start smelling the burning resistors. But that's it. We'll have to speak to the software engineers on that. But so I've been making use of LT Spice, and Wes's programs on the disk from Experimental Methods have been really, really helpful too. And he, you know, it's really useful to be able to correspond with somebody who's got such expertise in this area. For example, I've done this, and I know now what I was doing wrong. I kind of jumbled up in my mind the concept of the load that you design for in an amplifier and its output impedance, and they're two different things. And in his latest email, Wes straightened me out on that point. Let's see. I know about Harry's site. Yeah, I've been looking at his site for a long time, and he's got some really interesting amplifiers there. He has better luck with amplifiers than I have. And he always comments about how he has them operating stably. And I know that if I built some of the things on his site, man, it'd be taking off and screaming and doing all kinds of smoking and doing all kinds of weird things here on my workbench. But Harry's got a great site. And we'll find on your on updating the web pages and bookmarks. I'll just mention one thing in that area. I moved the we had some ads on the solder smoke page, and we had them on the left. I moved them over to the right, and I think some people might have some questions about why we have the ads. They're just book ads, and it's I don't think we're going to make any money on them, but it turns out that they're books that are the kind of books that we're discussing on the show, and so I thought it was kind of cool to have them up there, and it's kind of an easy way for people to see and some of the books that we discuss here on the program. So I moved them over. That was my big website improvement for the week. Oh yeah, and the Aurora. We put a couple of links to the Aurora videos on the video page. That's on the gadgeteer.us website. Back to you, Mike. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, Bill. Sounds like you've been really busy there, and I kind of been busy too. So you put some Aurora up. I told you about living in Fairbanks and seeing some really great Aurora up there, and it's just telling a friend of mine that the two best aurora I saw were in 1964, I think, or 67. I can't remember. I was riding in my mom's Corvair. She had a little red Corvair that had big red written in reflective white tape on the front. And we were driving near Mount McKinley or Denali, and great curtains of northern lights, and that was pretty memorable. And the other one was Halloween here in Juneau. It was maybe 10 degrees out, and clear skies, and curtains of northern lights with the red on the bottom and green and blue and it's really cool stuff. That was probably about 4 years ago, something like that. Yeah, right now we're going. We got zero sunspots. We've had zero sunspots for 7 or 8 days in a row. I don't know if it's come off of zero yet. But there's a coronal hole sweeping by, and so HF has been geomagnetically disturbed. I heard some signals on 80, but almost none on 40, and nothing above that. So it's been rough. Bill, let's see. Well, I had another comment, but it escaped me there after I talked about Northern Lights. Zero to you, M0HBR, KL7R.
Well, I guess the Northern Lights will do that to you. You know, it's funny, you mentioned I think 1966 time frame. I think that's the only time I ever saw aurora. And I was just a kid, and I didn't know what it was. We were in New York, out in the suburbs of New York City, and I distinctly remember one summer night where, I mean, the sky lit up and it was colorful and just the strangest thing we ever saw. And I can remember my friends and brothers and sisters and I running around out in the backyard just marveling at this thing and trying to get the adults around to pay attention. I often wondered what it was, and then a while back I looked at the sunspot cycle, and I think we were near solar max at that point. So it was probably a rare incident of aurora reaching down to 42 degrees north. But I think that's the only time I saw it. The videos that I put on the YouTube videos that I put on the website are really amazing. And one does kind of like a time lapse series through the evening. The whole night, actually, and so you could see in the background the constellations swinging by, and you could also see the occasional meteor, and I think you might even see a few satellites in there. But great stuff. I put them up there. Like I said, every week I add a couple things to the video site. Most of the stuff I have to say on YouTube is not worth looking at, but some of it is, which brings us to the next topic. One of the things that we found on YouTube, and I think we got it through the magazine site. Billy and I found a video where this kid used electrolysis to generate hydrogen, and it just basically he got some water, put a lot of salt in it, put a couple of electrodes in it, and put 12 volts DC at fairly high current through the salty water, and then at the top of the bottle allowed some of the hydrogen to accumulate. And so he allowed the hydrogen to accumulate up at the top, and then, of course, being a teenager, took a match and would allow the hydrogen just to kind of go, you know, pop in the top of the bottle. And so, of course, Billy and I decided we had to do it. And
not to do.
Oh, yeah. Billy's here, and he points out that in spite of all the warnings of don't try this at home, of course, we did.
And it worked.
And it worked, yeah. It was really cool. We got the bubbles going, and the hydrogen accumulated at the top of the bottle. And had everybody stand back and put on safety glasses, and pop! It really gave a nice report there. And so we were doing our bit to further the hydrogen economy, Mike. And that was from YouTube. I guess I should put that one up on the site also. There's some great stuff there. We were looking at homemade helicopters and, oh, man, really, really good stuff. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, M0HBR, KL7R. Well, that must have been fun. You guys were being mad scientists. You had your rubber gloves on and you were in the laboratory generating hydrogen with which to boom. Well, that's great stuff. It was Todd. I said, Eric, man, I got it all wrong. Todd, VE7BPO. He's the popcorn guy. I've talked to him on Echolink once. He showed up in the Echolink conference. Oh, by the way, on Echolink Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern is a meeting of QRP guys in the QRP conference there. Anyway, Todd showed up, and he's a real soft-spoken fellow and really nice guy to talk to. I enjoyed the conversation. I hope one day to do it again. But his site's really fun. He had a bunch of QRP stuff. He had a bunch of stuff from W7ZOI on Cascode amp biasing, and he's got recently he's got a bunch of stuff on SWL type receivers, and he said a lot of his recent stuff has been with SWL guys. They're building FET short antenna powered antennas and stuff like that. Anyway, good site, and I included a couple of links to his stuff in my links there on biasing under bookmarks. So let's see. Well, we've kind of jumped around in subject here, Bill. A lot of intense stuff going on. One of the main things that I was wondering about after talking to Farhan was how do you actually measure input and output impedance? And measuring input impedance it seems really straightforward. You know, that you could basically take your SWR meter, and if you had enough power to drive the SWR meter, you could measure SWR and get some clue as to impedance. And same with the return loss bridge. But measuring output impedance, I really didn't have a clue. But I found two sites on the net that dealt with measuring output impedance, and they both use the technique of swapping different loads in. One used the technique of, open circuit, what's the voltage, and then 50 ohms, what's the voltage. And another site said open circuit, 75 ohms and 50 ohms, or something like that. Pick two resistances, and from those three, you could determine the impedance. I guess one was more detailed than the other. Haven't gone through them that closely. Haven't tried them yet. Is what's going on. But one of the sites, basically said, use something like LT Spice and just fiddle with the values of output load and or just put a current source, I think it was, put a current source on the output and drive it backwards. I don't remember exactly what that was. But anyway, I put those two links there, and I'm going to study them later. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, these were the kind of questions that I was struggling with. And Wes sent me some good answers, and I think the output impedance, he was talking about taking test gear and basically looking back in to the output port and seeing what the impedance looked like. He warned, though, that some of the test gear for this kind of operation is kind of expensive. So I have to look at that in more detail. I just saw it as I woke up this morning, and we were kind of out late last night, so I'm a little bit... I'm not quite with it this morning, but then also, using the software to come up with the calculations. I really like the FBA, the feedback amp program that Wes has there, and it really has a great way. You plug in the parameters that you're using, and then you can vary the feedback, the generative feedback in the emitter, and the feedback from the collector to the base, and you can just change the values. And as you move them around, you can see on the screen exactly how the input and output impedance and the gain is varying. So it's a really useful tool, and it's fun to use it, and then do it in LT Spice and take care of that. One of the dangers, Mike, is we start drifting off into the virtual world here. We fail to go over to the workbench and melt solder and build these things. It's a problem that I've been coming up against. And so after Wes's last line to me was, "Now time to go melt some solder." So I think he's right. I've been the amplifier that I've been kind of designing and playing with has all kinds of kind of unrealistic restrictions put on it. For example, I want it to be Class A, completely Class A, with an output of about half a watt, with no feedback, just to do it as a straight no feedback amp. And that last bit, the bit about no feedback, is a real constraint, and probably makes it impossible to design a stable amplifier with that condition. And so it was a good way for me to come to understand why designers really embrace the feedback and such a powerful tool. So I guess we're both moving into the design area here, and I find it really interesting. After years of just kind of picking out amplifiers and picking out some pieces of circuits and sort of slapping them in where I thought they would work, and then fidgeting around with the input and the output impedances, and doing it in very much in a kind of slapdash hacker kind of way, it's fun now to try to inject some sense into the system and design with some logic and using the software and the formulas and doing the what you're supposed to do when you're engineering one of these things. Speaking of engineering, I mentioned it at the beginning. I'm reading Waz's book, and I have to say, I guess here's the time for a solder smoke book review, because I know this book will be of interest to our listeners. I've got mixed feelings about it. It's a great story. He's, of course, done amazing things. When you read the book, he's clearly one of us. He has the kind of passion for the technology that everybody who downloads Solder Smoke obviously has, and that really comes through. Also, in the beginning of the book, he talks quite a bit about amateur radio and the influence that amateur radio had on his life and his early efforts to build and build equipment and get his ham radio license. And so that's of direct interest to us. But more important is, like I said, his passion for the technology and his the real joy and delight that he gets in coming up with something new or designing something in a different way. So in that sense, it's great, and I'm enjoying it. It's an easy read. The problem is it's not really, I have to say, it's not really well written. And I got a chuckle because early in the book, he kind of took a shot at English majors and said, "Well, when I was in school, they didn't seem like they were doing anything very important. And those of us who were doing science and math, well, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but we were the real academic heavyweights." And then you look at the book and you think, "Well, geez, Steve, you should have spent more time in English class." He wrote it with the assistance of another writer, and it reads like it's spoken. It's like you're reading a transcript of somebody talking. And I went back to the back of the book, and sure enough, they did the thing over the course of I think some 56 dinners
All right, M08VR, KL7R. Well, he's an interesting fellow. You know, he's got just really an interesting guy, and the fact that he's a ham, that makes him more interesting to me. I'll have to take a gander at it there, or maybe read a little bit more on the net about him. I don't know if I'm going to buy the book, but I'll read a little bit more and see if I find out more about him being a ham and what all. Yeah, Bill, it sounds like you may have some microphone issues, maybe a loose connection or something. Your audio levels are jumping around a little bit. Maybe you can wiggle something while we're off here. I will mention that, getting back to Spice there, I put a couple Spice files up. Actually, I created a button on my site that's got Spice files, and I put a couple in there. I put the SM0 BPO half-watt push-pull amp in there, and pictures of it that I built in the Spice files and what all. But what I found out was, if you put up the .asc Spice file on the web, if you just double-click on the HTML link, it'll open up LT Spice with the data. I mean, it seems so obvious, but that simplifies a lot of stuff. You can basically build it in LT Spice, and you don't even have to save a picture of the schematic because the ASC file will generate the schematic in LT Spice. So I think I'll wind up putting a couple in there. I put some of our early M0 HBR, the first LT Spice ASCII file I sent you, and a couple other things I experimented with. I tried doing the PSK Warbler amp, and I tried to understand some of what Farhan was doing, but you know, the experience level with LT Spice is widely varying in there. But I did put a section in there, and I'll add more stuff. So Bill, if you have a chance to wiggle your wires there, M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Man, I don't know what I noticed that on the screen here. I think it's fine now. Maybe we should just claim that it's our efforts to make this sound more realistic. Let me see. Yeah, it's always good to have some interference in the background. It makes it sound like real radio. You know, oh, what? Hold on, I'm having trouble here. Got some QRM. Hold on. That's a Drake 2B, by the way. Enough of that. Yeah, I must have had some sort of loose connection. I'm using an embarrassingly cheapo microphone here, and I probably should do a little bit better. You remember when we tried with the D104 for a while? I don't think that worked out too well. But, fine. I'm putting the Spice models up. That sounds cool. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that. Look at some of our early efforts with LT Spice, and moving forward with design. Yeah, I would check out the web. Some of the stuff that's up there about WAS, especially about the Homebrew Computer Club. That's another area where his life is very much of interest to solder smoke generators here. Yeah, great. Well, Mike, I think I'm running out of steam here, maybe we should just wrap this one up. Billy and I might have to generate some more hydrogen here today. And sounds like you've got all kinds of projects to keep you busy. It must be getting late though in Juneau. It's almost breakfast time here. Billy's up. Maria will be up in a few minutes. Anyway, back to you. KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, M0HDR, KL7R. Okay, Bill. Two of the fun things to do on ham radio is, one of them is at Halloween, and they have the zombie shuffle. QRP guys do the zombie shuffle, and you get to say CQ boo, and it's fun to say, and you get to run really nasty transmitters that FM and chirp and warble and have 60 cycle hash. So it looks like it sounds like you're a zombie when you're sending CQ. So the zombie shuffle, you'll hear a lot of old military transmitters that chirp and sound like things used to sound like in the 60s there. I never listened on the 60s, so we'll say the mid 70s. And the Zombie Shuffle is one. CQ Boo, I was pointing this out for your son. Maybe you could teach him how to mash out CQ Boo on the key there. And the other one is Straight Key Night. My son made one contact on HF with a Morse code key, and it was right after he got his license on Straight Key Night. I made him pound it out on a straight key, and he got past his dad there. Okay, Bill. Well, 73 and 73 to you, Billy. Have a good morning. Congratulations on being an up and coming. What do we call it? Rocket scientist. You need rocket fuel like hydrogen. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah. Well, Maria wanted to be the mad scientist too, and she, as a matter of fact, for Halloween is going to be dressed up as a kid's book character called Franny K. Stein. Girl mad scientist. Yeah, we'll have to do mailbag next week. I don't have the software up, and we've got some good email, but we'll put that in the next episode. Well, Mike, so ends another edition of Solder Smoke. I guess this is number 36. Have a good evening. Good luck with the experiments. Keep us posted, and we'll talk some more next week. 73 from London, KL7R, M0HBR.
Okay, 73, guys.